WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, dense fog, and 20 degrees in Atlantic. We look for the fog to last through about 10 a.m. or so. And cloudy skies this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon, a high of 36. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Well, there were no injuries reported following an apartment complex fire overnight in Council Bluffs. According to Omaha television station KETV, the blaze happened in the vicinity of 2nd Avenue and South 10th Street at around 1:15 this morning. The flames were shooting out of one of the windows of the building when firefighters arrived. The cause remains under investigation. I'll have more news in just a moment.
I'm so frustrated. All I've had is cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions, and I just want to talk to someone in person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
An instructor of the University of Northern Iowa is hoping the publicity surrounding several recent hazing incidents in Iowa schools serves as a wake-up call to coaches, athletes, and others about the problem. Jennifer Waldron, an associate professor of health, physical education, and leisure services, has conducted several studies on hazing or bullying in sports. Waldron says many athletes she interviewed perceived hazing as just harmless fun, when in reality, the conduct could be illegal.
And there's also a huge social acceptance and social pressure. And so many of the athletes talk about, well, it's not something I want to do, but I want to be seen as a real teammate, or I wanted to be accepted by my teammates, and so I went through it, even though it was something I wasn't necessarily comfortable with, or it made me stressed out, or there's other ramifications of it.
Waldron said some athletes she questioned noted their coaches even played a role in hazing, while others enforced a strict no-tolerance policy towards such activity.
Most of the athletes said that their coaches knew that hazing was going on, but as long as no one got hurt and as long as there's no ill consequences that the coach heard about, then it would be okay.
Hazing or bullying cases involving high school wrestling teams have surfaced in Iowa this season. In at least three cases, criminal charges have been filed.
I am hoping that we in the state use this as a teachable moment and try to be proactive before more hazing cases break.
Waldron has given lectures at anti-hazing workshops and is currently collecting data on better prediction methods in initiation rituals among sports teams. A study finds nearly a quarter of all Iowans have no financial cushion to rely on if there's a serious event in their lives, like getting fired or being in a serious car accident. Jennifer Brooks, spokeswoman for the National Nonprofit Corporation for Enterprise Development, says asset poor is the term used in the report, and Iowa ranked 12th in the U.S. for asset poverty.
So what we found in Iowa is that nearly 23% of households were asset poor, meaning that they didn't have enough income to meet their day-to-day needs at the poverty level if their income was interrupted. So if they lost a job or they had some other kind of medical emergency, 23% didn't have enough to sort of make it.
Brooks says the financial security of Iowans was slightly better than the nationwide picture.
When we last did the scorecard in 2009, 22% of households were asset poor, and that number's increased to 27%. So Iowa's doing a little bit better than the national average, but there still are a significant proportion of folks in Iowa who really can't make it.
Another measure used in the study of residents' financial instability goes one step beyond asset poverty and into a category called liquid asset poverty.
To get that measure, we basically take out some resources like a home or a car or a business that would be very difficult to turn into cash if you lost your job. to figure out sort of what resources people actually have. So the money in the bank, retirement savings, that kind of asset that they could easily access.
In Iowa, 29% of all residents were liquid asset poor, nearly one-third of the population. The survey ranks all 50 states in 52 measures of financial security. Governor Terry Branstad is warning that residential property owners could see a massive tax hike over the next decade if the legislature doesn't clamp down on future increases. But city leaders say they have no intention of allowing taxes to soar and don't need the state interference. Branstad's office projects local property tax collections will jump from $5.1 billion in fiscal year 2014 to $7.4 billion in fiscal year 2022. Due in large part to a projected $50 billion increase in the taxable value of residential properties. Those taxes pay for everything from public safety, roads, and other city services. But some city leaders and Democratic lawmakers are not convinced that Branstad's projections are accurate, and they say local city councils would likely adjust their tax rates to protect citizens from big bills. Democrats in the Iowa Senate have mounted a public relations campaign to push for enhancing a tax credit that benefits low-income Iowans. Senator Joel Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, spoke at a State House news conference this past Thursday.
I can't think of a more important tax cut right now.
Last year, Republican Governor Terry Branstad twice vetoed an increase in the earned income tax credit for Iowa families who are making less than $45,000 a year, but he's less confrontational now.
I think there's a possibility of working something out there.
What Branstad envisions is a larger tax deal that would include reducing commercial property taxes.
I'm willing to consider the earned income tax credit as part of an overall comprehensive tax reform package.
Branstad talked about the possibility of such a deal on Friday during a taping of Iowa Public Television's program, Iowa Press.
I think that is critically important that we address commercial property tax. It's been a problem for 30 years. Two previous governors, and I don't know how many general assemblies have failed to address it.
On Thursday, Senate Democrats invited Julie Heck of Pleasantville, who's a single mother of three, to speak at a State House news conference to tout the tax break that's geared toward low-income Iowans.
In recent years, the EITC refund has helped me put a down payment on a car so that I had reliable transportation to get to school and work.
According to the Iowa Child and Family Policy Center, 37% of Iowa children live in a household that gets a tax refund through the earned income tax credit. Senator Bolcom intends to propose nearly doubling the state earned income tax credit, and a bill to accomplish that is on this week's Senate Ways and Means Committee's agenda.
Until we get this passed, that long list of special interest tax treatments and tax policy ahead of us is going to be on the shelf.
And he's talking, of course, about the governor's proposal to cut commercial property taxes. Elsewhere in state news, a 64-year-old woman has died after an eastern Iowa crash that killed her husband. Julie Murray died of her injuries at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City. Her husband, Pastor Mickey Murray of the Kelowna Mennonite Church, died in the crash Saturday afternoon. The car he was driving rolled over near Clear Creek, which is south of Tiffin. One of their four children, 18-year-old Nicole Murray, was treated at the hospital and released. A northwest Iowa family escaped a house fire but was displaced after the blaze caused an estimated $40,000 in damage. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors alerted Corey and Nancy Isabrand to the fire on Saturday. They escaped the house with their son and no one was injured. Firefighters had to remove the fireplace and open the living room ceiling to extinguish the fire. Investigators say the blaze started in the fireplace. A Cedar Rapids official says a fire at the city's wastewater treatment plant has not disrupted the plant's ability to take in solid waste from homeowners, businesses, or industries. City Utilities Environmental Manager Steve Hirschner says that residents can keep flushing and using city water as they normally would. The Friday morning fire damaged a building that houses an incinerator at the plant. There were no injuries. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama says the U.S. has a very good estimate of when Iran could complete a work on a nuclear weapon. Obama said that while he believes the standoff with Iran over its nuclear program can still be resolved through diplomacy, the U.S. has done extensive planning on a range of options that it's prepared to use. UN Ambassador Susan Rice says China and Russia run the risk of suffering international isolation because of their decision to block the Security Council vote that called on Syrian President Bashar Assad to step down. Meanwhile, activists say at least 17 people have been killed by government shelling today in Syria's restive city of Homs. They say that up to 200 were killed on Saturday. Authorities in Pakistan say more than 60 people were in a medicine factory in Lahore when it collapsed today. At least four people are known dead, and rescue workers are trying to reach people trapped in the rubble. A city official says the factory had been set up illegally and caved in after gas cylinders inside exploded. The final numbers are in from Saturday's GOP presidential caucuses in Nevada. Mitt Romney got 50% of the vote, giving him 14 delegates. Newt Gingrich won six delegates. Ron Paul won five, and Rick Santorum got three. Romney now has a total of 101 delegates. It'll take 1,144 delegates to win the Republican nomination. And authorities have no doubt the husband of missing Utah mom Susan Powell is responsible for the explosive fire yesterday that killed their two children and himself at a home in Graham, Washington. Pierce County Sheriff Sergeant Ed Troyer said investigators hope to fill in some of the holes in the case today. Although autopsies on Josh Powell and the children, an arson investigation in cooperation with police from West Valley City, Utah, who have been looking for Susan Powell, is still underway. Josh Powell was the person of interest and had lost custody of his sons. News time is 8:10.
Are you tired of paying high prices for cable TV? Are you frustrated that you do not have very many channels to choose from? At the TV Store, your locally owned Dish authorized retailer, we understand your frustration and are here for you. Dish has packages starting at $19.99 per month for a whole year with the option of watching something you enjoy. Don't have time to watch your favorite program? No problem. With Dish's DVR, you can record now and watch later without all the commercials. Tired of paying high prices for movie rentals? We have you covered there too. With Blockbuster at Home, you can enjoy thousands of movies from the comforts of your home. The best part, our knowledgeable staff will take the time to explain everything from billing to receivers to help you customize a Dish programming packaging that is perfect for you. Exceeding your expectations is what we are all about. So stop by the TV Store and let us be your Dish retailer. We're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Call 243-3032 and don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Fire cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, 53-year-old Jennifer Rule of Anita died Wednesday at her home. Memorial services for Jennifer Rule will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. Virginia M. Matteson, age 85, of Harlan and formerly of Audubon, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Nursing Home in Harlan. Celebration of Life graveside memorial services for Virginia Matteson will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Laura Lillian Landis, age 93, of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Lillian Landis will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Paul William Nissen, age 77, of Minden, died Friday at the Midlands Living Center. Funeral services for Paul Nissen will be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Minden United Church of Christ. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Gene Hudson, age 83, of Carroll and formerly of Manning, died Saturday at the Carroll Health Center. Funeral services for Gene Hudson will be on Wednesday at 11 a.m. The First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. And Russell Strable, age 61, of Messina, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Russell Strable are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. That is a check of our news brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson, KJAN News.